Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given shaitan a chance. When shaitan was being expelled, when he was exposed, then he sought some time. He requested some time from Allah. That Allah, give me some time, give me a chance. And Allah Ta'ala said, okay, fine. That until Qiyamah, I'll give you a chance. I'll give you an opportunity. And then, because he is our enemy, and he is the severe enemy of ours, shaitan. So he said, okay, then I will also attack you from all four sides, all corners, left and right, from in front, from behind, from all directions I will attack the human being. So this is the start of our life, which we should understand, the start of humankind, and this is where everything started. So he got an opportunity, he was given permission or free rein. And then he said, okay, fair enough, Allah has now given me an opportunity, so I am going to go after this mission of mine. That no human being of yours, Allah, he said, I will not leave him in a state or in a way that he will become such that the paradise that you've made for them, the gardens, the paradise you've taken me out of, expelled me from, that I will let them go. Rather, I will make sure that I fill up Jahannam with all of your servants. He said, Allah, you've given me the strength, so from the right I will come, from the left I will come, from in front I will come from behind. And every attack of mine, every resource I will use and tool I will use, said Shaitan, at my disposal. So this is what Shaitan said. And he explained his secret, his formula. I will attack them. My first attack, he said. So this is something to listen to what he said. He said, my first attack, what will that be? Said Shaitan. وَلَا تَعْجَدُوا أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ He said, Allah Ta'ala, my first attack is that I will make him, the human being, ungrateful to you. Ungrateful. So my brothers, this is our, connection or relationship with Shaitan, his enmity with us. So the first thing that Shaitan does with a human being is that he makes him ungrateful. Ungratefulness is a very big sin. And he didn't mention any other sin. And even then you can see there are many sins. The whole world is full of sins. There's murder, there are wrong actions, and such severe sins and evil actions and vice, astaghfirullah, the condition in this world, a person, he shakes when he looks at the sin that is occurring. But he only mentioned one sin, Shaitan, at that time. When he sought permission and leave from Allah, he said that I will make your servant Allah ungrateful to you. He knew Allah. And he knew he was very close to Allah. And he knew before that. And he knew that what makes Allah Ta'ala angry, most of all, say Subhanallah. Shaitan, listen to this event. So most of all, Allah Ta'ala gets angry when his servant becomes ungrateful. Because ungratefulness Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. So Shaitan picked on that. Because what he himself was, when he himself was ungrateful, so he knew that I was punished in a severe way, that I've been expelled from Jannah, I've been made zaleel, I'm wretched now, I'm cursed, said Shaitan. For which sin? Because he was ungrateful, Shaitan was ungrateful to Allah. So he says, Allah, this same action, Allah, I'm going to take revenge, and I'm going to make your servants, human beings, ungrateful to you. So what does this mean then? The rest of the sins, how did we commit them then? So what happened is that all sins, the root of all sins is what? Ungratefulness. Ungratefulness. When Shaitan makes someone ungrateful, then consider all the sins have come into that person. And then it's very easy for Shaitan after that. You know, for example, you know, whenever somebody does wrong, he lays the foundation. And for example, even a surgeon, he'll carry out the main operation. Then he'll tell the younger junior doctors to do the finishing touches, and he goes to the side. And then the juniors do the small actions. So the first sin that the head, the peak of that pyramid of sin, shaitan, he makes the human being commit ungratefulness. Then he tells his workers to do the rest, says, do what you're going to do after that, make him go here and there and commit sin, because I've done, make him do the severe sin first of all, which is ungratefulness. But Allah Ta'ala has given a great answer, my friends, to shaitan, that he gave Malun, wretched shaitan, that from in front, behind, left and right, he can attack us and make us ungrateful. So then will Allah Ta'ala not give strength and power to his believers to ward this off, or will he just leave them? So Allah Ta'ala said, fine shaitan, you do your work, I've given you that leave, but I am also Rabb, and I am Rabb and creator of those who believe me. So don't think, shaitan, that I've sent them down to the earth and I'll just leave them without any help. No, how can I leave them without assistance? Because they believe in me. Allah says, rather, they will be given more assistance. The more Allah Ta'ala says that a person's in difficulty and he believes in Allah, Allah Ta'ala values, appreciates that if a person's in difficulty and difficulties and problems and ups and downs and severe tests. For example, if you've got the Kaaba in front of you, then in Saudi Arabia, what else are you going to do? You're going to prostrate and believe in Allah and do tawaf and worship. But where we are surrounded in that place with sin upon sin, and then to do five times a day sajda there, that's when a person's successful. So that's the great achievement. So Allah said, fine, I've given you permission, you can go wander around free and try to ward off and distract the human beings. But you think that I'm going to leave my human beings without assistance? Allah Ta'ala then prepared. Allah says to my servants, then the whole year you work hard, shaitan, as much as you can. But 1 month I will give them, that I'll forgive all their sins. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. All year long, shaitan will work hard. He will shove a person towards Jahannam. He will make him ungrateful. And all his workers, his sidekicks, he'll make them distract the human beings and do the sins. But Allah says, I also have set aside 1 month. Allah's karam, my friends, think about it for a few moments. In the hadith, it is stated that the biggest loser is he who, if in this month of Ramadan, he loses out from Allah's mercy, and he comes into this month ungrateful and leaves ungrateful. So the biggest struggle we need to make in this month is to be grateful to Allah. Leave the rest. In this month, the biggest thing we need to achieve, the ruh, the soul of this month, is to be grateful to Allah. Shukr. To do shukr to Allah. The greatest ibadah. The greatest action. What is shukr? And what is being ungrateful? So how does a human being become ungrateful to Allah? How does ungratefulness come into us? In comparison to a ni'mah, a favor or gift, if you utilize that incorrectly, then you are ungrateful of that. For example, you're given a big car and you go and smash it into the wall. You say, you're very ungrateful. Your father will say that if you earned yourself and bought that, then you'd value it, but you didn't value and appreciate it. It happens, doesn't it, in the world. If, for example, your father gives you something or someone and you break it, smash it, you'll say, what did you do? I gave you a shop, a business place, and look how you've mistreated this place. You haven't run it properly. So what has that person been done? He's been ungrateful for that gift he was given, that opportunity. So Allah Ta'ala says that my ni'mas, la tahsuha, they are infinite. Allah says, my ni'mas, my gifts and treasures, so much I've given to you, O human beings, that you will lose count of my ni'mas, Allah Ta'ala says. You will lose count. Imagine, from top to bottom, Allah says, I have immersed you in my ni'mas. Sheikh Sadi, rahmatullah alayhi, said that forget about counting all of the millions of ni'mas of Allah. Just look at the breath Allah has given to you. One breath a human being has. That when you inhale, when you exhale, when you exhale and when you inhale, your ribs go in and out. So when you breathe in and out, when you breathe in, it's such a great treasure that you've breathed in. You could pass away then. When you breathe out, you could pass away then. The doctors try their best. They suppress you. They press on your chest. They use the machine that we want him to breathe in and then breathe out. But when he breathes out and he doesn't breathe in, end of life. So Sheikh Sadi said that when you breathe out, how can you repay that one favor of Allah? And when you breathe in, how can you repay that favor of Allah? Whole life long, we are not even grateful to Allah for these two breaths. We cannot even repay the favor to Allah for these two breaths. For these two breaths. So I'm normal human being, Allah Ta'ala says. Normal human being, Allah says, that's his case. Even the disbelievers, Allah says, I give them food. I give you food. I give water, ni'mah. Allah says, they drink water, you drink water. It's not a big ni'mah. Because even the disbeliever, he eats and he drinks and he breathes. Is there a bigger ni'mah than this? Food, drink, clothes, all the assets in the world. The disbelievers, the disobedient, they have, they use, we do. So these are armed things. These are common things. So for the mu'min, the believer, what does Allah Ta'ala say? What have I given to you that is special and select? What is the real difference here? Allah Ta'ala says, the greatest ni'mah, which is the biggest treasure from all of the treasures Allah has given, that is iman, that is faith, belief. This, the disbeliever does not have. He does not have. We have this. And what is this? Iman, faith. The greatest ni'mah. And Allah says that this is not a ni'mah if you got a shop or a house or food or bread. Allah says even the disbelievers enjoy this. The real ni'mah, the real gift and treasure, which is the greatest treasure from all of the things, the greatest treasure. And I repeat again, that is iman, that is faith and belief. Because the people who don't have iman, they cannot be grateful for it. So iman is the greatest treasure. And nothing can compare to this treasure, nothing. The whole of the kingdoms of the world and the money and the treasures take to one side. But iman, nothing can compare. If somebody comes to you and says, look, I've got this many houses, this many buildings, and you're running around empty handed, you've got nothing, you don't know anything in the world. You'll reply to him, I've got iman. He'll say, what is iman? Allah says, yes, you are right. That this iman, if we compare to this, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in comparison to iman, you cannot imagine, nor can you understand, your heart cannot even, your mind cannot realize what you have. The hood you will get for the iman, the house you will get in the hereafter, you cannot imagine what you'll get. Repayment for iman. You cannot even imagine for a second that as a gift for the iman, Allah says, if you pass away and die with iman, the rewards you'll get. Allah says, if you knew now that due to iman, how great a wealth it was, then we will learn in the hereafter. So we are the people of iman. Allah Ta'ala has given us the highest rank, the highest status, and the greatest treasure of the universe, iman. Believe. A kafir, Allah gives the dunya, the kingdoms, the lands, and the person of the iman who has belief and he doesn't have that. He should not even think for a second and sweat. Oh, he say, look at the Muslims today, we complain, we have nothing. The people have no iman, they're enjoying themselves, they've got things in the world. What is the enjoyment? What is the enjoyment? This is temporary enjoyment. But that mu'min with iman, his enjoyment, nobody can imagine what his enjoyment will be. Permanent. Permanent, forever. And that's why the maqam of a Muslim is great. That's why his maqam is, he hasn't seen paradise, he hasn't seen the hoors, he hasn't seen the roads of the paradise, he hasn't seen the mansions, the palace of paradise. Allah says, he has just trusted in me and believed in me and he's practicing. So, can he see? But the person in this world, he can see his land, his kingdom, his leadership. But the mu'min, the believer, has not seen anything with regards to after. So that's the true miracle. Without seeing, he's believed that, and he's given up everything for me, Allah Ta'ala says. Everything. And Allah says, do you think I will leave him empty-handed? I'll give him everything in the hereafter. But what we realize now and learn is shaitan. Because shaitan, what does he attack? What does he try to steal from us? Our iman. Our faith. Straightforward, direct, he attacks the iman of a mu'min. Attacks. And how does he attack the iman of a Muslim? He makes the believer ungrateful for his iman. That we will practice acts of ungratefulness for the iman that we've got. That's what shaitan will do. And that nashukri will come into the life of that person. So this is the challenge for the mu'min, and this is the status of iman. So being ungrateful, I've explained to you, is that when you don't value something, when you don't appreciate something, you abuse it, you misuse it, you stamp on it, you tread on it, and you make it into a bad state. So when a Muslim doesn't value his iman, and how does a Muslim not value his iman? What are the acts of ungratefulness of iman? The iman Allah Ta'ala has given to us, being ungrateful, is that when you disobey Allah, you are ungrateful for your iman. When a human being disobeys Allah, then he is ungrateful for the iman Allah has given to him. Remember this point. When Allah's orders, when we disobey them, when Allah's ahkams come to us and we disobey them, when we reject Allah Ta'ala's orders, at that time in reality, what is the human being doing? He is that ni'mah Allah Ta'ala has given, the greatest ni'mah, iman. He is ungrateful for that ni'mah. That's what he's doing. He's being ungrateful. Yes? And that is the biggest act of ungratefulness of a human being, is that despite having iman in his heart that Allah Ta'ala gave to him, he doesn't listen to what Allah Ta'ala tells him. He doesn't obey Allah's ahkams. Rather, opposite to that, he obeys his nafs, his desires. Yes, he believes some, he disbelieves some, he follows some, he leaves some, he thinks sometimes, he doesn't think sometimes. Yes, fair enough, we do make mistakes. We are human beings. If by mistake commit a sin, says, Astaghfirullah, Allah will wipe away that sin. then the iman will come back to that original position. But if we flagrantly and blatantly say, oh, it's fair, we have to live in the world, we have to work, we need to earn yard. How can we practice the deen? How can we live in the world with this deen? This Islam is for the older generation, the fundamentalist extreme people. We live in the scientific, advanced day and age. How can we practice deen, we say? Openly we criticize. This is in it. This is why I'm saying, oh yeah, these people are extremists, foolish people, stupid people, practice Islam. Yes, they are the people of the olden times, the prehistoric times, and the dark ages. We can't practice this deen, astaghfirullah. This is the test for the people, man, the big test today. The how do we stand up firm on the deen in this day and age? So when a believer, when he disobeys Allah, and even a small scale sin, even Allah's disobedience, for example, is that you cannot even say a word against Allah Ta'ala's deen. What do? We disobey, we sin, we go against the deen. Every order, halal, orders for halal, orders for haram, all of them, we mix them up today. We do what we desire, what we feel like, and what we feel like we leave. We are servants of our desires. We are slaves of our desires. So all of this is the biggest sin. That despite having iman, despite having faith, the believer lives his life as a disobedient servant of Allah. It's not just praying salah that is Islam. Allah says, I have many ahkams and orders in Islam. This is just for a few seconds or minutes in the day. Allah Ta'ala didn't just say that pray salah and then forget me after that. Allah says, believe me as I tell you every footstep of your life. My orders will come, my prophets will come, my prophet will come. He will tell you when the prophets finished, when Rasulullah, he was the final prophet, then after that the awliya Allah came, the mashaykh. Allah says, my walis, they won't sit with you and talk about the house and your shop and business and earning. The Nabi doesn't talk about this. He teaches you about the fikr akhirah, the fikr of the hereafter. He introduces you to Allah. He introduces you to Allah, whether it's bitter or sweet. He has no fikr if somebody's upset or feeling happy or down, or Abu Jahl will be upset. Rasulullah didn't think like that. He's a big man of the tribe of Quraysh or the big kuffar. The Prophet have said, no. Qulu la ilaha illallah, recite la ilaha, only then you'll be successful. He wasn't worried about them being put off, relatives or friends, etc. That you do what you have to do and you do what you have to do. No. The biggest relative of mine will be he. Even if he becomes Bilal like my relative, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So for that, this is the sign for the mu'min. The people like Abu Jahl, and they were politicians, and they said, we are relatives. The Rasulullah said, if Bilal, who is a slave, believes in what I'm saying, the message I'm giving, then his maqam will be that he'll be walking on the earth, but you'll hear his footsteps in paradise. Subhanallah. And his maqam will be such that he will go into paradise before even I go, he will enter into paradise. How? Subhanallah. He said that the reins of my camel will be in the hands of Bilal. So he will walk in first, and he will enter paradise first, and I'll be behind him, said Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Why? So that there at that time, what did he do? That such a maqam, people are said that, yeah, he will recite the kalima, and due to reciting the kalima, he will also protect his iman and the kalima, and he won't be ungrateful. Why? Because he was laid down on the coal, he said, la ilaha illallah. He was laid down on hot sand, he said, la ilaha illallah. His skin was ripped, he said, la ilaha illallah. What was he doing at that time? What was he doing? He was grateful to Allah at that time. That Allah, you gave me this name of Islam, I will not waste it, I'm grateful to you, Allah. So, these ibadat that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that we pray Fajr Salah, this is being grateful to Allah. That in the evening, Allah, I didn't leave iman, you gave me iman, I'm grateful to you. So those people who don't pray Fajr Salah, their iman has disappeared. Listen to this carefully. This is not a game, Deenul Islam. Islam is not a game. That the person who's in the morning a believer, he'll be a disbeliever in the evening. And the person who's a disbeliever in the evening will be a believer in the morning. This is a hadith. Okay, fair enough. If a person's asik, he sets the alarms, he tries to get up, he makes effort to wake up, but he couldn't get up. Okay, fine. There's forgiveness. Rather, there's a reward. You'll get two thawab for sleeping and for the ibadah. He tried. He made effort. Allah Ta'ala looks at the effort that person's making. That, for example, your son, oh, he doesn't pray, oh, he's young, he'll pray one day, he's got to go work in the morning, he's got to go to university, and straight away the mother will say, no, you're always pestering him and strictly scolding him, and don't pester him, he's got to study, he's studying, he's got to go to college, etc. He'll pray when he's got time, when he's got a chance, when he sees that there's time. Straight away the wife will come and the mother to protect the son. And then the father, he goes quiet, he says, okay, fair enough, okay, you'll pray one day, you should pray one day. And when he doesn't go to work, mother and father will both give him the telling of, how dare you, you haven't started working, you're free all the time at home, what will you do in the dunya, where are you going to earn from, and if you don't become this and this career, if you don't study, if you don't graduate, from all sides you'll become a lanat and cursed, why don't you do something? But until today, mother and father don't get asked that, does your son pray Salah or not? No, some people, their habit used to is, my son is this, and he's achieved this career, and there's a fakir, there's a poor soul. Fakir, simple person, he didn't have much in the dunya. He rejected the dunya, and leaving the dunya was such that he didn't want to disobey Allah, he didn't want to be ungrateful to Allah, he wasn't ungrateful of his iman. So, he didn't say that my son is this, or my son is this, and they weren't showing off. The, what is your son? He said, my son is a maulana, he's a scholar. Subhanallah. He said, what is it you've done? You've made him a maulana, your son, you've taught him, you could have taught him something else. What's his namaz and Quran, and he's an alim, where will he eat from? Where will he earn from? They said to him. So brothers, what is this? These negative thinking of ours, is this iman, tell me? Is this faith? Is this really faith? So iman, this is being disobedient to iman. That when the believer, when Allah bestows him with iman, to be grateful for this, we should protect it. Just like Hazrat Bilal, just like the Sahaba, the noble companions of the awliya Allah and the pious predecessors. That is called protecting iman. Valuing iman, not on small issues, running away, we don't know about halal, we don't know about haram, we don't know about the right way, and we get scared and put off, and that we can't practice deen is too hard. These are tests in life, my friends. All the ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that Allah Ta'ala wants to see, is he grateful to me for the iman I've given him, or is he ungrateful? Yes, 5 times in the day, Allah says, you have to be grateful to me to pray Salah. Allah says, let's see who's grateful to me. Allah could have said, pray at home or at your shop or business place. Okay, you don't have to pray. No, Allah says, no. That whoever is grateful to me for the iman I've given to him, the man, only grateful will be he. That as soon as it's Fajr time, all the men folk and the youngsters at home, they'll run to the masjid. And he who doesn't go will be such that he will be taken away, vanished. Allah says destruction will come to the person, just like the hadith. The fuqaha say the person doesn't pray. Some say imprison him. Some say hit him. Rasulullah some said that I feel like I want to burn the houses of those people. Why? Because he has lost iman. This is being grateful for the iman. The ibadat Allah has given to us, this is being grateful. The hajj we do, this is the ibadah of being grateful. Yes, all the ibadat we've been given, what do they represent? The acts of worship, they represent us being grateful for the iman that is given to us. And the rest of the angels, they testify. The Allah Ta'ala, you gave them the ni'mah of iman, they're grateful to the iman because they're doing the right things at the right time. So don't consider ibadah, acts of, don't think that if someone's not praying salah in your home, there's nothing. Never turn a blind eye. Your kids, you're bringing them up. You have to bring them up and bear them. Qu anfusakum, you'll be asked. And thereafter, just like you send your children to university, college, you exhort them to study, or if by chance you make somebody a maulana and then you worry that where is he going to eat from? How is he going to earn? How is he going to flourish in the world? This is our tawakkal. Though I've done wrong now, I've sent my son towards becoming a maulvi. Let's drag him back towards the dunya, we say. Let's drag him back towards the dunya. That no fikr we have of our salah or our family if they're praying salah. Remember, in that house where salah is not prayed, let me remind you, what are those people? They are close to kufr, disbelief, because they cannot bear witness and prove their iman. They are rejecting the name Allah has given to them. They're rejecting the name Allah has given. Doesn't matter who's involved in that. Any level of person he is, doesn't matter if a person's learned ilm, he's got knowledge and he prays salah at home and he's forgiven. No way. Oh, he's a scholar, he's maulana, he's hafiz. What's his punishment? That the others who are not alims, non-scholars, they'll get punished after first. The alim, the scholar, the hafiz will be punished. Double. Just like the people of iman and hifs and alims, they'll be given double reward in thereafter. Same way those people who rejected and didn't pray salah and they pray at home, they'll get double jahannam. Double punishment. And they'll be given double criticism. Did you not have shame? You had Quran in your heart, ilm in your heart, and you went against that, and you gave tarbiyah to your children opposite to that? Those so-called learned people, and those learned people will be punished twice, that you taught your children to imitate those who had no iman. Brothers, don't go towards inferiority complex. Allah's Nabi said, oh, did he say, oh, Abu Jahl, you're rich and you're maaf and you're forgiven? No. And that the poor person is only for him? That is not the case. Subhanallah, you'll see on the day of judgment, Abu Jahl, that my Bilal, how you will shine, said Rasulullah, his face will shine. So brothers, my colleagues, understand the deen of Islam. If today we Yes, if when we practice it's difficult for us, then these difficulties are there. That's part of life. And this is the challenge of life. Allah says that my friend is he who when I test him, he comes into the fold and he passes the test. Say subhanAllah. If I say to a friend, I'm your friend. When your friend tests you, let me knock on his door. I need £500 today, friend. Can you give me £500? My business is down. It's flopped. I ain't got no money to give you. And that other person I gave loan, he hasn't paid me back. I have to pay fees to my children. If I had money, I'd give to you, my friend. And your friend says, I'm in hard times. I need your help. Please, if you give to me, then I'll repay you after 2 weeks. He says, sorry, yaar. Oh, I'll ask somebody for you. Please go away today. And what's happened, yaar? He says that, yaar, my heart feels that what's happened to you? But he's not taking £1 out of his pocket. So is that a real friend? He can't help at the time of need. Allah says, same way you said you've got iman, my servant, that you're saying a big statement, oh my believer, that I've given you great number to every iman person, all my life long, your life long, I'll test you, that are you really my friend or not? Allah says, I'll test you. Sometimes I test you with hunger. Don't run away due to hunger. Oh, my Rabb, understand, he's testing me, but I'm not going to do a U-turn. Because Allah's promise is that I am his beloved and he's my beloved. I won't run away from Islam. Don't say Allah, don't say from your mouth, oh, look at the disbelievers, they're enjoying life. I've got no food, no clothes, they're enjoying life. And they're disobeying Allah and they're enjoying themselves in the world. Never in your mind should this atom's weight of thought come, otherwise you'll be destroyed in this world. Never in your mind should you criticize and consider that others are better than you. Allah says you'll be destroyed. Allah says, I also test my friends, my walis, that how much does he repay the favor, subhanAllah. What a great statement. Shakartum lazidannakum, Allah says. Wala in shakartum lazidannakum. That when my servant is grateful for my iman that I've given to him and he saves himself from sins, every sin that a person runs away from, look at the rule, Allah says, lazidannakum. That when my believer, Allah says, my servant is grateful and he runs away from the vice and evil, Allah says, then I increase his status even more. We think that when we eat, be grateful, Allah will increase the food. That's all we understand from this statement. Hada fadla Rabbi, written on top of the shops. This is the fadl of Allah. If we work, Allah will give us more money. This is not being grateful to Allah. I'm talking about iman, my friends. Allah is talking about iman. Allah is explaining about iman that subhanAllah, when you are tested in the dunya and when upon iman you save yourself from the sin and you protect your iman, due to you protecting your iman and running away from sin, Allah says, I'll increase your iman. I'll strengthen your iman. The more you save yourself from the sin, I'll strengthen your iman more. To this extent, Allah says, you come so close to me and I'm with you and you are with me. We are together. لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That's the meaning of this statement. So we think Allah has given us more food and drink and water and money. No. لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And where are we grateful? Allah says, you're grateful the iman I've given to you and you run away from disobedience, you run away from the sins. You are able to sin. You had the capacity to sin and you stopped it. In reality, you are grateful for the ni'mah that Allah has given to you at that time. When, for example, when you are running away from disobedience and sin, what are you doing in reality? You are grateful and you're doing shukr for the iman that Allah has given to you. Yes, that's what you're doing. Rather, what are you doing? That the greatest name Allah has given to a human being, iman, the Muslim is being grateful for that. Allah says, then I increase it, and it carries on increasing, it carries on increasing. Subhanallah. But on top of that, Allah Ta'ala says, at the same time, kafartum. What does that mean? Shakartum, kafartum. The person who rejects, who is disobedient to Allah. Allah says, the ni'mah that I gave to you of iman, when he commits sin, when he leaves salah, when he consumes haram, when he does haram actions, when he does wrong actions, when he makes halal haram, oh, I'm forced to do this, I can't do this, and he considers himself as a Muslim, and he recites the kalam, Allah says, he's a munafiq, he's a liar, he's a hypocrite, Allah says, I tested him, he's not my friend, he's run away. Kafartum. The person who rejects, who shuns the right, then what happens? Allah says, adabun shadeed. Not just adab, what does Allah say? Shadeed. Allah says unlimited adab that he cannot imagine. On the other side, on one side is Allah says, I increase the iman, but the person rejects adab unlimited. And on the other side is thawab, if you do the right that you cannot imagine. So both extremes Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here. Both extremes. So this is the fantastic message we need to understand, for which Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you 1 month, the whole month of Ramadan Allah has given to us. This is the practice on these points that you need to become a grateful servant of Allah. That's why Ramadan says, Allah says, you have to learn how to be grateful to me. Practice is being given in this month of Ramadan, because this is the soul of deen. The person who is ungrateful, then he'll be far from the deen. So this is the meaning of fasting. This is the meaning of when a person keeps a fast. The meaning of the fast, that he has to learn how to be the obedient and grateful servant to Allah. Why? Because Allah has ordered him, don't eat, he's not eating. Allah says, don't do this action, X, Y, Z. He doesn't do that. So he's saving himself from disobedience. Yes, he's saving himself from the disobedience through this fast completely, that human being. It is the fast. How is it completed? It's not by leaving food and drink, the fast, rather by leaving disobedience to Allah. That's the definition of fast. There's a hadith of Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He stated that some people are such, that they want to save themselves from Jahannam, but when they commit the sin, then they fall into the trap. So the whole fast gives this message. It's teaching us the message from the beginning, that if we really want to be a genuine fasting person, by the evening you want to get the reward from Allah, then Allah says that how much through this day of the fast did you protect your iman and run away from the sin? That is when you'll be considered that you didn't eat and drink, you'll be given the reward of the fast. Otherwise there are sick people in the hospitals, they can't eat. Yeah? There are people in the hospitals, they can't eat or drink. Today if I get a stomach upset, I can't eat even then. Yes, so the food will stop for the day. So this is not some great achievement, not eating or drinking. Even the sick person can't eat. So if you don't eat or drink, that's not the miracle or the achievement of the fast. The achievement, this is something extra. Allah Ta'ala could have said, eat and drink, but don't commit the sin during fast. So the special karam and grace and mercy of Allah during the month of fasting is that Allah Ta'ala has to make us even weaker physically. Allah Ta'ala has kept us away from food and drink. Here the Sufis say that the greatest condition physically for a human being is poverty or hunger. When you see that your nafs is not coming into control, then you should go through hunger. That's why in the Naqshbandi silsila is exhorted that eat less and sleep less. That's when you become a proper human being. When you eat less, there's less passion, less thinking about earning and passion and lust. Yes, so a person who is hungry, this is a reward of Allah, that during the fast you're not eating and drinking, it will become a reward for you when at that time you leave the disobedience. Allah says, I've given you the fast for this reason, to run away from the sin. 30 days Allah has given us the practice in fasting month in Ramadan, so that you can become a grateful servant and depart the world in that way. That nonsense that Shaitan spoke about right at the beginning of time, that I'll make your servants Allah ungrateful to you, then you have to give them the answer in these 30 days of Ramadan, that look, Allah Ta'ala has given us a great ni'mah of iman and we will not commit sin in these 30 days. So Allah Ta'ala will then, due to the barakah of this month, will he do in the next world. So this is not just the plan for these 30 days. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm telling you this for this reason, so the rest of your life, even after Ramadan, you have to pass like this. It's not just to Ramadan, the 30 days we do this, we stop sinning and we stop eating, drinking, thereafter I stop. Allah says, 30 days I'm helping you. Through Ramadan, I've imprisoned shaitan, I've kept you hungry, thirsty, I'm enabling you, I'm assisting you, the method how to control your nafs. So then you have to carry this on after Ramadan. Allah says, go and sit with the wali Allah afterwards. Sit with the sheikh and he will teach you and train you the same works like the works of Ramadan. At the moment it's Ramadan. Even if you want to be saved from ungratefulness, then Allah Ta'ala says, through these 30 days I make you practice. If for the rest of the life you want to practice, then go to the Khanka, the place where the Shaykh is, a wali Allah, take his hand, and then you'll be saved. Otherwise you'll go back towards ungratefulness and Shaitan will deviate again. Because Shaitan has many tools and resources. But at the same time, the wali Allah, he has tools and resources. He's the master and surgeon of this field of tazkiyah. That they've opened the hospital, the Khanka. After Ramadan, they say, you're free from fasting now. They come and enroll into this hospital, the Khanka. So the rest of your life, you can get guidance. So you don't lie, you don't do ghibat, you don't consume haram. And morning and evening, you'll go and pray salah. And you'll protect your iman. And you'll testify to iman that Allah, we have iman and we value, appreciate. And that's the environment you find in the Khanka. What else do you find in the Khanka? Do you find noise and dancing and singing? No. The walis of Allah, this is the fikr and the concern they have. The fikr for the hereafter. And then they revise and repeat those same lessons that Ramadan is given to us today. The Khanka and the Shaykh and the Khanka teaches that and repeats that. That's why every murid of a Shaykh, he is a grateful servant of Allah. The true student of a Shaykh is a grateful servant of Allah. That he tries from day one, I want to obey my Shaykh. Whatever the Shaykh says, he says and he teaches the student those things that can make him a grateful servant of Allah. Will a student be ungrateful servant of Allah. The murid, if he's sincere and he's gone with an honest, true heart, first time he takes the hand of his shaykh, he becomes a grateful servant of Allah. Because that's the promise that the shaykh takes from the student, so that he connects him to Allah. Just like in surah, in the Quran, surah Mumtahana. The Allah says, oh, my Nabi, when the believing women come to you, how should you give bayah to them? Accept the pledge of allegiance, don't do kufr, don't commit this sin, don't commit this sin, don't commit this sin. So this is the promise that the sheikh takes from the student. Yes, that you've come to me now, student, fine. So you need to promise to Allah, you won't do this sin, you won't do this sin, this won't do this sin. This means that alhamdulillah, you are then controlling your desires and the sheikh guides the student. And he does his ilaj, his cure. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. What a great cure and solution the sheikh gives to the student. Yes, that my student, what should you do? Start doing the dhikr of Allah in parallel. Do the dhikr of Allah in parallel. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And then here, the shukr, the gratefulness is attached to zikr. That's why in the khanqah, morning and evening, the dhikr of Allah is performed. You will get the teaching of kathir, high quantity dhikr from the teacher. And this is the one solution of how to become the grateful person of Allah. And shaitan runs away. Shaykh gives you tarbiyah, coaching, guidance. And on top of that, in parallel, he teaches you dhikr of Allah with mamulat, with a schedule. With the schedule. People nowadays say it's a waste of time doing dhikr. Why should we do dhikr? Why do you keep doing dhikr, you Sufis? You're wasting time, you're doing bid'ah, innovation. That, for example, if you want to today, my brother, save your iman and protect your iman, then two things you can do to save your iman, protect your iman. In two things you will get the protection of iman and success at the time of death. If before death you want to protect your iman, number one, practice Ramadan correctly. Yes? And in Ramadan, you can preserve your iman. And secondly, you will get the preservation of iman taught to you in the khanqah of the sheikh. Nowhere else in the world will you get protection of iman. Remember this point. But unfortunately today, the situation is upside down. Shaitan has deviated us, given us dawah, taken us out of the fold and made us wasters. Yes? Doesn't matter if he's an alim or a muhaddis or a scholar. To save iman, 100% lazim, essentially, he has to go physically to a sheikh. He has to sit in the sheikh's service and company. This is the principle of the deen. And that's from where the human being becomes a proper human being and learns the principles of life. So it's not the case that Allah hasn't prepared for us, but if we don't utilize the resources that Allah has given to us, then we'll become sick. Allah has given us the medicine. Allah has given us the medicine, and shaitan has the power. He can make us devoid of iman, he'll make us ungrateful. But Allah Ta'ala has prepared also opposition to that. Allah Ta'ala has given us great preparation and resources until Qiyamah we can ward off shaitan. No dajjal or fitna will succeed. The walis of Allah, they are here in the world, they will assist mankind, they coach and they guide and they protect their students. Okay, fine, we are human beings, you can make a mistake, but they have the tariqah. Allah has given us the tariqah. And it's essential that when you sit in the company of a teacher, but the person who doesn't go to the teacher, he says, so what if I made a mistake? It's fine, doesn't make any difference if I don't practice. But the student who's the Sufi sincere, who sits in the company of the sheikh, if he's a murid of a sheikh, a teacher, then after sinning, he'll be extremely remorseful and regretful, and he'll do istighfar Allah. And Allah says, promises that as soon as you do istighfar, I'll wipe away that sin. Tawfiq istighfar, to have the ability to do istighfar is a great name of Allah. Great, great resources and tools they'll give to us. So brothers, you have to spend time in the company of a sheikh, a teacher. Go, find a teacher. And this is the best way to live your life. Do istikhara and seek guidance from Allah. Allah, give me the company of your wali so I can go there for my islah. I can correct my aqeedah, my belief, my worship, and strengthen my connection with Allah, strengthen my aqaid and correct that. Then inshallah, his aqeedah is corrected and then he becomes a proper human being. So this is Ramadan, the teaching of Ramadan. Don't think Ramadan is a waste of time, not just eating and not drinking. No, rather there's a great message Ramadan has brought to us. The biggest message of Ramadan is that the human being becomes the grateful servant of Allah. Fasting teaches us how to be a grateful servant. What's the definition of being grateful to Allah? Not Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Shukr Allah. Definition of gratefulness to Allah is to run away from the disobedience to Allah. Yes, fast teaches us how to run away from the disobedience to Allah and run away from sin. When until the evening, the human being fasts in that way and he doesn't disobey Allah and he doesn't commit sin, then he becomes the grateful servant of Allah. And when he commits sin, then his fast breaks. In the same way, the rest of the life, the human beings like that. It's not just for 30 days you're a Muslim. 30 days, our masjids are full. Allah Ta'ala is making us practice. He's overhauling our iman. What we've done is that just until Ramadan, we've refrained and restricted ourselves to Ramadan. Ask people that, oh, we'll just practice in Ramadan. When Ramadan disappears, we say, then after that we'll practice. When Ramadan disappears, then we'll do it. When Ramadan goes, we'll carry on. But what does this mean, that just iman is confined to Ramadan? No. Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy, He has revived our iman all year long. We committed the sins. Allah has washed those sins and He's made us realize that you are living the wrong life. Such a great realization Allah has given to us that this is the life of the mu'min, which is the life of Ramadan, in which there's no sins, in which Salah is prayed, in which the Quran is recited, and people hasten and run to Islam. So high daraja qadr of Salah and Islam Allah has given to us in Ramadan. Salah and Quran, a great value and appreciation in Ramadan. This is the life of the mu'min. This is how we should live the life. This is why we should love that we run away from fard. Compulsory Allah says, no, this is the reality of life, the how you should observe the nawafil. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this great ni'mah, that Allah has made fasting fard, and He's made the other actions on the muqaddah, tarawis. It's lazim. We must pray tarawis. And it's Quran lazim, subhanAllah. It's essential. Essential. The whole, subhanAllah, the whole masjid, all the imams, they accept that this is sunnah muqaddah, praying tarawih, sunnah muqaddah. Yes, what is it in Taraweeh? Subhanallah. The action, that the life of the mu'min, that he saves himself from disobedience, and totally the connection he has with ibadat in his life. And the top class ibadah is what? Quran and Salah. This is the life of the mu'min, the life of the believer. And this is the example we've been given in Ramadan. 30 days we do that. We have the Quran, we keep the Quran, and we pray Taraweeh. But then as soon as fasting goes, then Salah goes, our Quran goes, and love of dunya comes back, and immodesty comes. No, in Ramadan we are taught the life of the mu'min. The rest of our life we should be like this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durud.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Hamdan katheeran tayyiban. Allahu akbar. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama anta ala wasallam. Allahumma qabbal minna salawatana wa salamana wa salamana wa salamana. Allahumma qabbal minna ma qaddamta wa akhartha. أنت وصفت من تعالى نحن نفط نفسي زمان نعم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونعم الشيخ برحمتك يا رحمة الله سبحان ربي ورحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى والحمد لله